life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Smith, the man nostalgic for Transformer Snack. Episode 14 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that puts anime and hates fun. Once again, I am joined by my co-host and the lover of the worst people from the sitcom news radio, Anthony Askew.
Good afternoon, listeners. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Yes, in case you don't follow Anthony on Twitter, he was bigging up both Joe Rogan and Andy Dick over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, Andy Dick's great. Not an Andy Dick fan?
Yeah,
not for his films, but for his...
He's amusing,
yeah,
but
he is.
He's also a pest and quite clearly full of problems.
A man of my own heart. But no, he's funny. He's good. Right, what's wrong with Joe Rogan?
Go and listen to the interview he did on Mark Maron's What the Fuck podcast. There we go. The explicit tag for this episode.
Oh, ouch. F-bombs. Right.
There may be some more on the first section of this, because I have written some notes and there are swear words in it. So, yes, go listen to that and then listen to his defence of... first of all, his criticism of other comedians and then his defence of... Was it Fear Factor that he did?
Oh, he can't defend Fear Factor.
Yeah, the guy's a bit of a hypocrite.
I'll check them out now. We'll see.
And also he's like a weird conspiracy theorist as well.
Oh, yeah, some very strange ideas about very mundane things that blows out of proportion, yeah.
Because I was listening to the... Because I didn't have that great a view of him, but when I was listening to the interview, I was like, oh, yeah, he's not quite so bad as I thought. And then at some point in the interview, I suddenly went, oh, no, he is. He's as bad as I thought.
I heard he doesn't speak very highly of you either, Brian.
But no, it's that weird thing where you start liking somebody and then they say one thing which kind of makes you suddenly really disappointed in them. Right, okay, with this show today, while we're still waiting for John to return for the next RPG episode.
Yep.
John, answer your emails. We're going to do a preview of the upcoming summer anime and then a review of the Crayon Shin-chan movie, The Adult Empire Strikes Back, which I think its full title is The Storm Called The Adult Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
A very long titled film.
It is.
But first up, the previews. Now, last time we went through and talked about the stuff we were looking forward to the most. I think we'll stick to that, but I do have comments written for pretty much everything coming out. Whether those comments are worth hearing or not, we shall find out. So what was the first thing that caught your eye?
I'm not going to state the obvious one, but there's a thing, I don't know much about it, but it's, excuse me pronunciation, it is Mawaru Penguin Drum.
That's on my list as well.
It looks very... Because I think there's been five preview trailers.
Something like that.
Each one is misleading, is the previous one or the next one. I don't know what it's about, but from what I've seen, it looks pretty funny with penguins.
Yeah, apparently it is described, it has been described in an interview, I think staff and some of the stars did, as a penguin murder mystery.
Oh, I like
it. And it's by Kunihiko Ikurahara, the director of Revolutionary Girl Utena, which just got re-released in America on DVD.
Yeah.
And he also, I don't know if he still, he did kind of in the 90s, he kind of looked like a Japanese David Bowie. And I think he went to move to New York for a while to study English and try and get into film.
Oh, right.
Various other things, and there's some very odd photos of him if you look around. If you look for his name and probably latex, there's some very odd photos of him. But yeah, he's fairly charismatic. He's definitely got his own point of view. He started out on one of the Sailor Moon series.
Right.
With a lot of other guys who've gone on to do sort of clever twists on magical girl shows. Yeah, and supposedly there's a penguin has been murdered at the first episode, and the penguins apparently are piloted by human beings. And there's, which really doesn't come across in the latest trailer, because it just appears to be a penguin wearing a wig, which steals a fish off a cat. Yeah.
But it looks good, though.
Yeah,
it looks pretty
impressive. Yeah, that's the one I have everything. That's the top of my list.
That's top of your list?
That's top of my list of things I'm looking forward to.
I'm pleased I jumped in first, stole your thunder with that one. But yeah, I'll certainly be watching that. Is it full episodes or just 3-minute shorts?
I think it's full episodes, because I think it might be taken over from Enma Kun.
Right.
Because that's where they've been advertising it at the end of those episodes. They've been running these trailers, which have gradually sort of... They started off with just like icons.
Yeah.
And then turned into... You started to get full animation in the last one.
Yeah.
Right, first on my list, and this is kind of not in any particular order... Appleseed 12. Now, I've been burnt on Appleseed every single time. Every single time. The OAV, back in the 90s when Manga Video released it. The comic even. The films. And I'm probably going to be burnt again, but I keep on coming back. The problem I have is the comic book's very wordy.
Right.
And it sort of has loads of footnotes and everything, which footnotes is fine in printed material. But when it's in moving around on the screen, you've got to have, the problem is you then have to have somebody spout those words out their mouth.
Mm.
And you get loads of exposition. But yeah, despite all that, I'm probably going to check this out again.
I don't like the look of this at all.
Another time.
I think this looks... Originally, I thought, in the same sense that you, maybe good, you know. But I checked out a trailer for it, and it's just... It looks too much... far too much CGI involved.
Well, that's what the last couple of films were, CGI. And the action was always good.
Mm.
But the problem is, the action would eventually have to stop for one of the characters to explain how they were going to get to the next action scene. And I'll talk a bit about how... The Shin-Chan movie kind of does the same, but it kind of does it a lot better than that in how it paces itself. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Appleseed taken care of. What's next on your list?
I have R15. I presume that means rated 15. It's about a teenage boy who is a porn novel writer, so all those romance novels, but adult ones. So I don't know why this is on my list, but it might...
Because you're a pervert?
Well, it's not that, it's just... I think it might actually be quite amusing. Just the premise seems nice and simple. I don't know, I'm going
to
watch this.
Well, this is the show which would be on my... my answer to the question, which anime are you currently mad at?
Give it a chance.
Well, I'm not mad at the fact that it's about a teenage porn writer. I'm mad at the fact that he's a writer and it's a cartoon.
Mm, and he's only a high school student as well. You know.
I don't even bother about that. It's just the fact it's a cartoon about a writer. What are they going to do? Oh, look at that pencil move. Look how fast he's word processing.
Well, I'm hoping he uses experiences within the high school to inspire him for these like novels and stuff. So I think that's got like a lot of room for laughs, but we'll see.
I'll let you watch that.
Right, I'll watch that.
On the sleaze front, I do have something sleazy on my list as well.
Nice.
Maybe on your list as well. I don't know.
I don't know.
Did you ever watch the second series of that Quasar show?
I didn't.
I've got it last time.
I've got it ready to watch, but I haven't watched it yet.
Well, the guy who directed that is also directing this thing called, I think it's Manu Hikachu.
You're going to say that. Just from the image.
Have you seen the trailer for this?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
Like Quasar, it's very well animated.
Right.
It's trash. It's apparently about special ninja scrolls that increase breast size in a world where your status is governed by your breast size. And it's really well animated trash. And as I think we mentioned before, we're gonna have to do a sleaze episode at some point where we just watch an episode of some of these sleazier shows and just compare and contrast. And I might save this one for the sleaze episode.
Just from the premise, it sounds pretty raunchy.
Yeah, and yet it's still not as out there as Quasar is.
I will get around to watching that at some point, but I've just had better things to watch.
Yeah, like most things.
Yeah, better paint to dry to watch drying.
Okay, right, that's my sleazy choice. What's your next choice?
Well, I don't have any more sleazy choice. Well, I suppose the next one's relative. Well, nah, it's not sleazy. Idolmaster. The Idolmaster. It's basically about this guy who works for a production studio and he has this harem of women who I presume are models, and just him doing his thing in this production company, I think. I don't know much more about it. I know it's based on a
video game.
Yes, yes. Not that I've played it or know anyone who has, but...
Yeah, you've seen the anti-up video that I've
yes, that's...
played, which they've created using the game.
Right, right. So you'll be watching that, will you?
No.
Oh.
I think there was a one previously they did where they added giant robots to it or something. I didn't bother doing that much. I've got a vague memory of them trying to do it before where it wasn't really a direct take on the game.
Mm.
Or maybe it was a take on a spin-off of the game. But, yeah, this one seems to be the one where they've gone, okay, let's turn the game into a show.
Yeah.
And I'm not really interested in pop idol management as a genre.
Oh, I think it's going to be great.
Right.
If it's a Simon Cowell-esque character, it would be fantastic.
Next on my list, I have Blade.
Also on my list.
But yeah, the trailer doesn't look anywhere near as well animated as the X-Men. But it has a vampire-hunted dog.
What more could you want?
Which is why. Because it's by the Cheese Sweet Home. The guy directed Cheese Sweet Home. And Cheese's new address, and that had a dog in it. So I'm pretty sure this will be pretty good dog-hunting vampire action. And maybe Blade will help out occasionally.
And that's all you've got to say about it?
That's all I've got to say about it.
I don't know about this. I think it's... After loving X-Men to begin with, and then just feeling a bit lukewarm about it, this one I'll watch, I'll try it, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, it does seem to be Blade and Deacon Frost and Noah Van Helsing and Noah Van Helsing's vampire hunting dog in Japan, because I think it was like the one Japanese character in the same way.
Ah, right.
They kind of had the one Japanese. Mm-hmm. The thing about the X-Men, going back to that, because I don't think we're going to do a proper X-Men, I noticed it suddenly dawned on me that it's kind of, yeah, it's Professor X running around the world producing dangerous mutants by having sex with people, because that's the story. It's kind of, well, the character's kind of Moira McTaggart, who had her own son, but that wasn't Professor X's son as far as I know. But
it's, you obviously up with X-Men?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
but
right,
obviously her, yeah, it's partly based on the Prometheus story, and partly sort of the Legion story from X-Men, where there's this super dangerous mutant in the end that turns out to be Professor X's son. Spoiler alert.
Spoilers. I don't really care about spoilers for it.
Well, no, exactly. You're going to be watching it for the animation rather than...
Yeah, spoiler. Unless Magneto turns up and proves to be a fantastic... Just being Magneto, that would win it back, I think, potentially. But it's not going to happen. Next on my list, I don't even know how to pronounce. Oh, no, I'll go for something else. Number six.
Yeah. This is on my list as well.
Yeah, seems to be one of the... In fact, this is probably top my list. It seems like the one I'd be most interested in, I'll find most appealing. It's based on a science fiction novel, I believe.
Yeah.
By... Can you pronounce it?
I haven't got it.
I may do a good job, actually. Asano Atsuko.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Telepathy... Sujo Ran, that is the name of the novel, I believe.
No, that's one of the other novels.
Right, okay.
Which has already had a cartoon. Yeah, no, right. I think the novel's just number six. It's, it's straightforward sci-fi drama. It's set in the future year of 2013.
Not far.
but looking at the trailers, that's totally taken into account. It looks pretty much like modern day in the trailers. But, sort of kids on the run from mysterious people by the looks of things.
Yeah.
And, looks great from the trailer.
Should be good. Should be good. That starts July 7th.
Yeah.
First date I've mentioned. In fact, a lot of them start that... Is that a weekend or a...
I don't know. I've not paid too much attention to the dates.
Right.
Next thing on my list is Kami Sama Dolls. Which, based on the synopsis, I wasn't interested in. And then I actually watched the trailer and it looks really good. Because the dolls appear to be strange sort of giant things which follow the characters around in question.
Yeah.
And it's another murder mystery by looks things, or a mystery of sorts with, sort of teenagers with strange sort of...
Avatar-esque.
Yeah, things following them around. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I did have this on my list, but I've got a big, thick black line through it now. I don't know why, but all of a sudden I thought, actually, no, you're not going on my list. But we'll see. Speaking of murder mysteries, I finally watched Clue.
Aha.
Enjoyed
it. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I
really want to watch it again at some point, because I think it's a nice, easy-watching film, and it's funny. It's really
funny. Yeah, because it kind of all just hangs on Tim Curry's performance.
Yeah.
Everybody else sort of hangs their performances off that. Yeah, I think easy-watch is a really good way to describe it. It's nothing too taxing.
No, but it's good. But moving on.
Yep.
Is it? It's me.
Again.
Niampire. That's it. Is it Niampire?
Yeah, Niampire.
Niampire, which is a vampire cat who... Oh, I did have the synopsis wrote in my head. Inscribed in my head. But it's really cute and... basically something to do with a cat that... I can't remember whether it's thirsty or something... But and a vampire
Yes, it was a cat who was abandoned and dying, and a vampire appeared and gave it blood to survive, turning it into a vampire cat.
And it's based on something else, I believe, the gothic world of Niampire.
Yeah.
But is this on your list?
It is on my list, yes. It's a short, so it goes on my list.
Yeah, it's...
I think this list here I've got is... Yeah, it's going to be airing at 6 minutes to 11 at night, so I'm going to guess that's probably 4 or 5 minute long cartoon. So we should probably be talking about that.
It's a nice short one.
The other noticeable thing is it's Gonzo's first show in 2 years. And it's kind of telling that they're returning with this, a Flash animation show.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm just surprised it wasn't the Pugaroo guys doing it, because apparently Gonzo were involved in Pugaroo and the second thing they did. So thankfully it's not. It's apparent what the guy did, but the director, writer, oh no, sorry, the director and the character designer has done loads of great character design work.
Right.
Yoshimatsu Takahiro, the guy's name is. Mm. Which is, quite promising. Again, they're appealing looking designs.
Yeah, there's a little samurai cat with an eye patch.
A little angel cat, and then a little normal looking cat.
Yeah. And obviously the vampire cat, Niampire. Yeah. Fantastic pun.
Black with vampire wings. Mm-hmm. And, it just remains to be seen how well they actually move. right, next on my list, let me have a look here. Go back up a bit.
How long is your list? Goodness.
Well, I've got everything on my list. I've just highlighted the things that I was interested in. Blood Sea.
Yes, I've got this as well.
It's the new series in the Blood franchise. I think it's completely starting again, as the other two have done. The Blood OAV I thought was okay. It did throw me. Did it throw you the first time you saw it, where they've got the dual language going on?
Blood the Last Vampire, yeah?
Yes.
It's been a lot of years since I've watched it. I can't remember much about it other than the animation, because I've seen it in that many anime music videos. And I could draw it myself, I think. But... But no, it's obviously really good. But I can't remember. Does it have English? Japanese at some point.
Yeah, the English characters spoke English, I think, and the Japanese characters spoke Japanese. Because it threw me. I borrowed it off a mate at work, and obviously it said Japanese with English subtitles on the case, I think. And then I put it in, and it said everyone was speaking English to begin with, and I was like, messing around with the controls on my DVD player, trying to work out where the language was. And then it dawned on me, okay, yeah, they're being clever. Yeah, that had, like you said, the animation is what everyone remembers from that, because there wasn't much story.
No.
Do you watch Blood Plus? The
I didn't, unfortunately. There was a part of me that wanted to watch it, because, as I say, I did like Blood the Last Vampire, but I just never got around to it. One of those things.
I saw some of the early episodes, and then it sort of lost interest for me.
Right.
Didn't think it was distinct enough to keep me coming each time. But, yes, Blood Sea does have a couple of things which will make it distinct. It has Clamp sort of doing the design and background work for it. It's obviously going to bring in loads of fans for that side of things. And it has Tsutomu Mizushima directing it, who is just coming off Azazel-san, which I loved. And he does really good horror and action, as well as comedy. So,
yeah,
all over this like a rash. This is the second thing on my list. I've only got two things out of my list where I'm pretty certain I really want to watch them. And that's Penguin Drum and Blood Sea.
Mm. Yeah, I do. From the trailer I've seen, it does look really impressive. It does look good.
Right, next on your list?
In fact, isn't there a few vampire-related shows coming this summer?
There is...
Sure, there's a couple.
Yes, so there's Blade.
Blade, Nyanpire, Blood Sea. I'm sure there's another one. Let's see.
It's almost as if they're popular at the moment. Yes, there's something... Yeah, Itsuka Tenma no Kuru Usagi, which I've written against it. Something about a big-headed naked vampire? ?
I can't find that on my... Oh, hold on.
It doesn't look great.
I knew there was a few things anyway. Was a few things, but... they're onto something here. Well, these are vampires. Yeah. They're onto something. Anyway, on my list. I think it's the last one on my list. Yeah, it is. Sacred Seven.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of scrambling around what's left, because there's not a great deal interest me in this kind of blast of shows. And Sacred Seven was one of those that did. And it's just... I'd imagine, from what I gather, it's a group of school kids fighting evil, and it's by Sunrise.
Yeah, it looks like there might be robots, or at least
powers
involved in some way. So I'm just wondering whether they'll be using like the similar sort of graphic style they've been using for the robots on Tiger and Bunny.
Right. Oh, yes, I never thought of that. Thinking ahead.
I did like those, and I think they're a good leap forward in terms of using 3D CG.
Yeah.
So hopefully that sort of lives up to... I'm not sure it'll live up to the storyline wise as Tiger and Bunny, but visually, hopefully it will.
But yeah,
That was on my list as well. Just see if there's anything else left on mine. Double J, which is based on the current comic by the guy who wrote Cromarty High.
Right.
It's marketed as being about cute girls, but having seen some of the comic, that's very deceptive. And I'm more curious as to sort of how it's going to translate into, because it's going to be Flash again, how it's going to translate into animation, because I'm not sure they can pull the gags off from comic to animation, because a lot of the gags rely on the particular art styles.
Right.
Because basically it's about a sort of arts and craft type club. Uh-huh. And the male member, while girls are drawn in a modern, cute style, the male character is drawn in like a 1970s manga style.
All right, okay.
And his mentor, I don't know, I don't speak Japanese, I don't quite know what's going on, but there's another character who looks like he comes straight out of Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Right.
And he's trying to, like, do this sort of very calligraphy-styled manga at some point as well, these drawings and art that he's doing. So I'm just not quite sure how it's going to translate onto the screen. But I'm curious, which is probably why I'll check it out if I get a chance.
Yeah.
Plus, it's another Flash short, which I'm
always interested. Like our shorts.
Well, yeah, because I think that's kind of what the future's going to be, as sort of you can tell by, like, how Gonzo... had budget problems and money problems. and they come back not with like a full animated sci-fi epic, but they come back with a short comedy show about a vampire cat. Because there's less outlay, and you just might catch on. Plus, you can stream them quite nicely.
I do like the short stuff. It's even if you don't like it that much, you can still think, I'll watch it to the end, what the hell?
Yeah. Let me just see if anything else. There's Inu Maru Dashi, which I think might be... I'm not sure if that's going to be shorts as well. May well be. That's a Shonen Jump strip, which... owes a lot to Crayon Shin-chan, let's say.
Well, from the image that's on the preview thing that you sent me, I kind of looked at it and I thought, that looks quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, like, the character design's nice. Yeah, like, the colour design is great.
And then I thought, oh, you know what? Nah.
Is there anything else here? Nekogami Yao Yorozu. Probably mispronouncing that last one, which is about a cat god, and only really checking out because it's by the guy directed DigiCarrot, Cromarty High, and Detroit Metal City. So I think he's one of these directors where he's a good director, but he's only ever as strong as whatever the source material is. He's directed good DigiCarrot shows and also bad DigiCarrot shows. And the problem's never the direction, it's more the script. But yeah, he did a good job with Cromarty and Detroit Metal City as well. So I should probably check at least a bit of that out. More on the sort of the worst DigiCarrot series side of things.
There was something else I was going to watch just from the image, because I look at everything on the list and I have a bit read about everything. Just purely because I had like kind of a samurai look about it, and I like my samurais, but it's I don't like the premise. It's I'm gonna butcher this. Nuraihion no Mego Senen Makio.
Yes, that's a second series. They've had a first one already.
Yeah, that always puts me off when it's a second season. Which it might be good, but.
Yeah, I watched the first episode, didn't really excite me, but mainly because it's one of these shows where, One Piece exists, so I don't need another show in the same vein. But it was pretty popular. It seems to have been doing well on DVD and Blu-ray sales in Japan, so it's probably why it's got a second series. Right.
And there was actually another thing, I don't know why this isn't on my list, and I'm going to add it to my list, and... that is Dantalion no Shoka. I think there might be a different title for it on this other thing.
Yeah, it's that's the Gainax show about the gothic detectives.
Yes.
It's set in England.
Mm-hmm. And there's something about it that looks quite charming. And I don't...
Yeah, it's not on my list because I didn't see anyone in the staff that recommended to me. And on the Twitter recently, there's been this mystery of... the disappearing Gainax staff.
All right. Ooh.
Apparently, like, the listings on their site have disappeared for a lot of the people involved in Panty and Stocking. Rumours and... well, not rumours, sort of more like guesswork as to what might be happening, whether they're gone off to start their own...
studio or something.
Studio or not. Of course, the irony is that I'm not going to put this episode out for another week, so by the time this episode comes out, that mystery may all be resolved. And we all know exactly what's happening.
But I might actually watch that whatever I said before. I'm not going to try and say it again.
Let's just call it Dantalion.
Yeah, that's a good name. I like kind of like Dog Tanian kind of thing about it.
that's pretty much it. Everything else didn't really excite me anyway. I noticed there was something called Kamisama no Memucho, which is basically...
detective thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's new. Well, yeah, gothic detectives. I think the Gosick is the one which is currently running, which is popular. But it's basically a cute version of the detective Nero Wolfe. You know, that there was a TV series on it that showed on BBC Two about a shut-in detective who basically gets loads of agents to do things, all his outside detective work.
But he's obviously the
Yeah. He stays inside, but rather than an overweight, cantankerous old man, it's a cute girl instead.
I might watch this after all. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't like the... I actually kind of thought, it sounds watchable. And then I watched the trailer and I felt like I'd be wasting my time with this.
Yeah.
Sorry, whoever's behind that, but don't get my thumbs up.
Oh, and there was it Mayo Chicky, which is about a cross-dressing butler, which I thought they're now just picking out fetishes from a hat. They go, okay, cross-dressing. Butler,
I don't remember reading about this one. I don't remember reading this. What did you say it was called?
It's Mayo Chicky or Chicky, based on the light novel by Asano Hajime. About a 17-year-old who's been serving as the butler of a classmate, and the classmate accidentally discovers that she's actually a girl.
Oh, I think I did read about this, yeah.
Yeah, so
not
it's
for me.
No, it's kind of like, really? Really? Is that the best you can do?
But there's another show that I think could have potentially been good, but I think it'd be far too boring, to be honest. It's what did you just say it was called? The
one no, that wasn't the one I mentioned, I think. You're thinking of
Ikuku
Miro no
Croissant.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I was umming and ahhing, and I'll probably wait to see what other people say before I check it out.
Yeah.
Because it's by the script's by Junichi Saito, who is one of these guys, like Ikuhara, worked on Sailor Moon and then has gone on to do various things,
right,
sort of taking apart the genre somewhat. And this may be one of them. It seems more like a historical drama.
Yeah, that's what kind of put us off. I mean, I wasn't asking for action with it. It's just about a kind of clash of two cultures, isn't it?
Yeah, but my concern is whether or not it's... Because it's got the directors, the person who did the popular... Is it Shugo Kara? Shugo Kara, the sort of magical girl show, which was quite popular a few years ago. So it just makes me wonder whether it's straightforward shoujo, which I'm probably more happy with, or whether it's sort of this shoujo for otaku men, which then made me wonder whether there was a phrase called fojo to describe this, of this fake shoujo. But yeah,
nah.
I'll wait and see on that,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Right, on to the main event then. Crayon Shin-chan.
Yeah, I forgot we're doing this for a second, but I'm pleased we are.
So, is this the first time you've seen Crayon Shin-chan, or did you see it when it was shown over here? It has been
I have seen it when it was on... I always forget which channel. Was it on Jetix or Fox Kids? I think it started on Fox Kids. Yes, I have seen it, and I did like it, but it was something... I presume, from what I've seen since, it was heavily edited.
Yeah.
Heavily edited. Because I've downloaded the first and second seasons, you see, recently.
Naughty thief.
What, are they on DVD?
Yes.
Really? I'll mountain buy them then.
Yeah, Funimation. Well, I don't know whether they're the first... But Funimation have put stuff out. Whether they're actually... I don't know whether they are strictly the first and second seasons.
Right, so...
There, I think they picked and choose, because they did the opposite and they sort of amped it up so it was Adult Swim, because it sort of falls halfway between.
Ah, yes, it does, yeah.
So you've got to tone it down or amp it up.
But I think it's glorious. That's the best way. I could literally watch it back to back for hours, the series that is, but.
Yeah.
What your thoughts on the series? Do you...
I've not seen. I think I've seen a tiny bit of the one which was shown over here, and then I've seen, I think, a couple of the early episodes Funimation did when they showed up on a certain torrent site. this was before Funimation was putting them out on DVD, and I only got them because it was the one. I think it was the ones Evan Dorkin and Sarah Dyer had script polished on them. Before I stopped using them to script polish. And also the fact that there was a Crayon Shin-chan figure inside my brother's bathroom for, I don't know, a decade maybe, before I told them who it was.
Really?
Yeah. So those are the main places I was familiar with. But I can't remember why I downloaded this, because this is only on fansub.
Yeah.
This particular film.
It took me a while to find, because the thing you provided, I was having lots of trouble with that, and the subs weren't working on it, and it was awful. Awful. By the way, why is it regarded as Crayon Shin-chan? Because I've obviously always known it as just Shin-chan.
I think that's just what it's called originally.
But they cut out the crayon for over here.
Yes.
Mm. Makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I think I've got quite a lot to say about this, actually.
But, good.
Let's talk about what it's about. Anyone's got to have seen some Shin-chan stuff to kind of understand Shin-chan.
Well, I don't know. I think you pretty much kind of get it. It's kind of like if you just read a newspaper strip, it's fairly obvious what it is.
Yeah.
It's about this bratty little kid and his parents and his little sister and his dog and his friends in the film. That's kind of who it is. You kind of think they do like a sequence sort of about a third of the way in where you kind of get to see lots of the supporting cast. But yes. I think that is too much if you don't know.
No, not at all. No.
Beyond the fact, they're teachers.
Yeah.
But the actual film itself is sort of very millennial.
Nice word. I like it.
It's about a theme park which has opened. It's the Museum of the 20th Century. And where adults go to relive their childhoods, basically. And we, so, like, the film opens up with
Expo 1970.
Yes,
in Japan.
It appears that they're in Expo 1970, but
it
turns out that it's actually a film being made by Hiroshi, Shin-chan's dad, where he's cast in this sort of Ultraman role, saving Expo 70 from a monster which is attacking.
And this is part of the 20th Century Museum's kind of what they give to the adults to kind of get them back in the past and stuff like that. It's part of their thing.
Yeah, so it's heavily about nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And, which is, and the Expo 70 thing is the first thing which makes you, if you've read 20th Century Boys, plays a big part in that story as well.
Yeah. And I believe that's why you suggested for me to watch it.
Yes. Yeah, because there's similar themes and also similar imagery, because they use the Expo 70 imagery. But in 20th Century Boys, that sort of the nostalgia for that particular event, that particular era, also plays a part. But in a more
malevolent.
That's the way. Than in here. The villain of the piece is kind of he's doing it for what he thinks are noble reasons.
Which the two villains, the male and the female, are they meant to be brother and sister in the end?
I think so. Yeah,
I think they turn out to be brother and sister, but they kind of look like a John Lennon and Yoko Ono kind of couple at one point, at least. They certainly look a lot like that.
And also the woman's a little sort of, as far as the Shin-chan design at this point gets, is kind of a bit like a, Matsumoto heroine in sort of her sort of shape. Sort of very waif-like.
I love the style of this. I love the look of Shin-chan. I love, because it's very sketchy looking and, how would you describe?
It got more angular as the series went along. In sort of, if you buy like the first volume of the manga, which I don't know if it's out of print yet, but the original character designs are a lot smoother and rounder.
Right.
And then the animators just gradually got wilder and wilder. There's been thing I think on Cartoon Brew a while back because Bennett they brought it up because Annie Pages had brought it up, and. They were sort of pointing out how the animators in Shin-chan have been given more and more freedom in to do what they like with the character designs and take them further and further. Whereas if you look at The Simpsons, which is the most obvious comparison in the West, the animators there have been forced to be stricter and stricter in how they keep things on model at all times and don't get as crazy as they used to in those older episodes.
But I like that about Shin Chan. It's almost like they said, right, just get anyone. Like, it's as if everyone has a little blast at drawing someone, if that makes sense. Like, because it looks so lazy. But I don't know, it's kind of...
But it's not. It's really well animated.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. Yeah. So hats off to in that regard.
Very deceptive. And that the other thing why... why it's high, I probably should go and watch more episodes of it, is that it does turn out great animators who go on to do better things. I think it also, because the problem I have with a lot of these comedy shows, which I don't find funny, is you look at the staff on them and they haven't had the grind of working on a Shin Chan, of producing that many episodes a year of a comedy and being focused on gags.
Because how long did the original series run for?
It's still running, isn't it?
Is it really? Goodness.
Let me just check. I've got the Wikipedia page open at the moment.
Ah, right.
I think it started... Yeah, it ran from 92 to 96, and it started... And then... Yeah, so... It had different people in charge. Sorry, I'm looking... Yeah, so Mitsuru Hongo was 92 to 96. Keiichi Hara, who directed this film... was 96 to 2004, and then Yuji Moto's 2004 to present.
Right. And in all fairness, I think looking at the original series, it doesn't strike me as the kind of thing that would ever go outdated.
Well, yeah, that's it kind of... It's like The Simpsons, where everyone's fixed at their ages. So, Hiroshi's 35. Is it Misai, his wife, is 29. And then the kids, I think the daughter was born during the series, so she got the sort of Linus grow up a bit quicker to turn a character like Linus did in Peanuts. But yes, so at this point, they're 35, and I think that just about works for this Expo 70. It definitely works for Hiroshi. I'm not sure about Misai, is that the thing she has a film of is a parody of Magical Girl Sally, which seems a little old if she's supposed to be 29 in 2001. but yeah, which is gives them the Simpsons problem, of course, is that now it's a decade later, and so all of a sudden if they did this thing now, then they'd be nostalgic for something in the early 80s rather than the early 70s. But it's not that much of a problem. This was the thing. This was the bizarre thought I had today, though, is that that's the advantage of the Flintstones. Because the Flintstones can always be about now and never have that problem, because it's not actually now. It's Flintstones is like science fiction, because if people say the best science fiction is actually about today, they might be set in the future, but it's actually about issues of today, then that's the same with cavemen things. Cavemen shows are always about issues of today.
So you don't feel the same about the Jetsons?
It's just something about cavemen, as I've mentioned before.
I'm going to quote you on that. There's something about cavemen.
I just think it works better for humour than the future is, because it's set in the past, so...
You can allow some stupidity with...
You're making stuff up. You have to make more stuff up when you're in the future.
True.
Whereas with the cavemen, you can take things that people know about cavemen and then warp them so that they're about things of today. I think that's where the advantage of cavemen. So you've heard it here first. Cavemen fiction is better than science fiction.
Shock.
More cavemen movies.
I used to love the Jetsons. I obviously loved the Flintstones, but I loved the Jetsons as well.
But then, of course, they spoilt the Flintstones by introducing science fiction with that little green man who'd grant Fred's wishes. Right, anyway, back to Shin Chan. So the parents... get these nostalgia films made.
Yeah.
And then they go back home after the credits run. The credits. So what do you think about the credits? That which is completely unrelated, but it was like a short
claymation thing, yeah. I was quite surprised, actually, when it bursts onto your screen and it's... I can't remember the lyrics of the song, but something to do with adults telling you to, like, tidy your room or...
Yeah.
Such like, but it's something different, isn't it? It's
yeah,
it's like rigged quite nicely. Yeah,
slightly ragga style. Yeah, that might go into my wrestling panel as well, that clip.
Oh, yes, yeah. Because Shin-chan wrestles a pig.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, at this point I was kind of thinking, okay, something I was thinking about 20th Century Boys is that...
Bear in mind I haven't finished this. So
no, I'm not spoiling any end, but there's not many characters in their 20s in 20th Century Boys. They're all... The main cast are all in their 30s, late 30s, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, and then in the time jump forwards, you've got characters who are in their teens, but obviously at the start of the series, they're sort of toddlers.
Yeah.
And there's a few characters in their 20s, but I don't think they particularly come off well. So I won't go into any more than that. So I was thinking, does this thing do the same? But I don't think it does, because you get that sequence after the credits where the adults all start to behave much more like children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the parents refuse to look after Shin-chan. He has to go to school on his own.
Feed himself.
And as he's on the way, he finds like all the adults behaving like children in the town, and his teachers are behaving like children, and the teachers are all in their 20s. And I think also you do see some of the other parody films which are being made, and I think there's one where they're obviously doing a Sailor Moon parody. I think one of the teachers are.
Yeah, it was like three recurrent teachers.
Yeah.
They're kind of always seen together, and yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I think it's a bit more open in sort of the characters it's involving. Well, the characters in particular are sort of the kids and the parents. There's not that, they don't sort of kind of lose the people in between. Maybe the OAP, some OAPs do show up, but you don't really sort of get the background off them. They're just there in the museum.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the thing about this and 20th Century Boys, which I'm not quite sure whether you see in, I was trying to think of any American sort of millennial type films where they're sort of very much concerned about the world kids are being left.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So
let's think. But yeah, I definitely think both, obviously 20th Century Boys and this, does a good job of that in kind of, basically. What you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't think of any more. Couldn't agree more, yeah.
Because you don't really get that in The Matrix. Because I was thinking the millennial films, but they're sort of pre-millennial to begin with. Well, The Matrix was eventually post-millennial as well. But they're kind of focused on those characters in their 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the non-parents, the people between childhood and parent.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of how this is focused. Anyway, the other thing is interesting is the kids are completely bored by their parents' childhoods and their parents' interests. They have no interest in it whatsoever.
See, I think this is very different from the series, this film.
Yes,
I was going to say that earlier on, but I didn't want to, I kind of want to pace out the kind of our discussion on it, but in a good way, of course, but I was expecting it to be a lot more kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, silly and just taken to face value and that's that. But I think it's a lot, I don't know whether I'm overthinking it or anything, but it's a lot deeper than that. And it's,
From what I understand, the horror films are a lot deeper, have messages in them beyond gags.
Yeah.
I think, as I understand, the early ones are more sort of genre parodies.
Right.
It's obviously, I think this one's trying to trick you into thinking that it's a genre parody with the Ultraman thing at the start. And then after this, apparently, our friend Tsutomu Mizushima, who worked on this film.
Right.
With Hara, but he takes over directing them. And apparently then they become a lot more gag heavy, sort of. Goo is and Azazel is. He's not really... I don't think I've ever seen anything where he's particularly interested in a message. Particularly when you look at the stuff that he's actually written himself, which is Dokuru Chan.
Oh, goodness. Right.
So I don't think his interest lies anywhere within delivering a message.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I think he likes horror, action and gags.
Mm.
That's
not to say that this isn't funny. I think it's there's one scene, and It's where they're driving a bus.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit.
Okay, we'll get to that in a bit, but that's a lot. I think that's pretty clever.
Yeah,
there's one line that just, it cracked me up. It really did. It really did. But we'll get to that.
But yeah, there's a bit I wanted to talk about before that is one thing I noticed is rewatching it because there's a second time I've watched it all the way through.
I only watched it a day.
When they're leaving the museum for the first time, you get them in the car journey on the way back, and that does a good job of establishing sort of the geography that pays off in that bus scene, which we'll mention in a bit. Yeah, so the kids sort of eventually the adults all leave the town and go back to the museum, leaving the kids behind. And then all the other kids, apart from our heroes and, yes, Shin-chan and his friends,
yeah,
they stay behind and escape the adults who are trying to capture them by stealing a bus.
Yep.
Which I'd never seen the film, but I have heard say that it's kind of based on part of the Clint Eastwood film The Gauntlet.
All right, okay.
Particularly the early
bit
where,
as a child,
where they're shooting at the bus. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I haven't.
Right.
But yeah, so what was the bus chase? It's
obviously a group of kids, tiny. I don't know what age they're meant to be, but
they're going to kick the gas, so they're pretty young.
Yeah, pretty damn young, and they're not old enough to drive, obviously. So basically, they're all operating the different functions of the bus, like they're going into gear and stuff. And they each decide to take turns, and there's this one kid who has this one line, which is just change driver, and that's his kind of, he's for some reason he becomes the boss of when to change the driver. And one of the kids is a bit of a, what do you call him, a SWAT? It's a bit of a SWAT, and he sticks by the rules basically. And
which one is he? I've got
I forget his name now.
It's not Roger. Oh, yeah, because they have different names in the...
Oh, do they? Oh, right.
Dub, I think. So, it is... Hang on.
I'm just trying to think for me on...
Bear with me. The Kasukabi Defense Organization. Because that's the name of their little gang. Kazuma.
Kazuma.
Because he's the only one who gets called by his surname.
Ah, right, okay. Well,
yeah, he's the perfectly composed one.
Yes, that's the best way to put it. And obviously it's this big highway chase away from the adults, who all appear to be driving Volkswagen Beetles.
I wasn't sure if it was that or whether they were Citroens.
Oh, yes. I'm not a big car guy, you see.
No,
we're
I'm
all
not
driving
either, so.
The same vehicle. And obviously the idea to get away in a chase is to get away fast. And he's sticking to the speed limits. And obviously the child is suddenly changed driver, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody else gets up and they kind of crash. It's crashing into the other cars. And I was thinking, oh, come on, change driver. And I just built it up in my own head and he shouts, change driver. It's better to watch than what it is.
It is, because each kid's got like their own personality that influences how they drive. And eventually the dog ends up driving the bus.
Yeah, and he's the best driver. But it's just a way, the delivery of change driver, and I think it's the same kind of shot, well, the same, like, part of the animation.
Yeah, he's constantly got a bunged up nose as well, that character has, so it's like very monotone, ordering them to change drivers. Because they all have to take a turn driving the car.
But that's only fair, of course.
Yes, but yeah, there's loads of good action, particularly once Shin-chan's parents get involved as well, trying to get onto the bus.
Oh, yes. Because they turn up in their...
Cosplay.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, so eventually they get to the museum, and all but Shin-chan, his sister, and the dog are captured. But Shin-chan goes to try and rescue his parents, which he does by breaking the spell. Yeah, we should mention, the reason they've all become childlike is because the villain has captured the smell of the smell of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And he uses that to...
In the air.
make people who were sort of born in the 20th century and sort of grew up in the 20th century become enamoured with nostalgia for it. And he's built an underground version of the 20th century, which is permanently in twilight, isn't it?
Yeah.
The evening's always going down there.
Yeah. I don't, because he says that something, that it makes people feel more nostalgic or something.
Yeah.
I think is reasoning. But that's kind of like Friendland.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's the other thing. So yeah. I don't know, because this, obviously, 20th Century Boys started in 1999, so the series itself predates Friendland. But Friendland doesn't show up until later in the series. I'm not sure whether my guess is it's just a coincidence. Sort of, it was the right time for that idea to crop up in people's heads.
Oh, right.
Because, yeah, we do see Hiroshi, a scene which is very like the Friendland scenes in 20th Century World. 20th Century Boys.
Yeah.
Where he's remembering his time at Expo 70. Mm. And just like the characters in 20th Century Boys, the memories aren't quite as idealised as he perhaps makes out.
And it's almost like he's wearing... There's a point where... That bit's really sad, actually. That's one of the scenes I thought, right, this is obviously a lot different from the series, because it's quite heartfelt. But
yes,
we'll get to that.
Because Shin-chan basically makes him fast forward through his entire life and to bring him back round to the 21st century.
Yeah.
And he does this by making him smell his own feet.
Because apparently he's got the worst smelling, well, a strong enough smelling feet to bring it out of some kind of hallucinogenic.
His feet are the smell of the... Well, yeah, I just wondering whether it's supposed to be like hard work and growing. It's like that shows that you've become an adult is the fact that your feet stink at the end of the day. And so that's the smell of the 21st century. it is a running gag in the show though that his feet stink something awful. And so to get to the finale, they sort of bring everyone round. Well, his parents round with they have to keep on smelling his shoes every time they get too nostalgic. And then they try and stop him pumping, because his plan, the villain's plan, is to pump out this smell of the 20th century across Japan, and permanently set the time back to the 20th century.
Yeah, and if he does this, the stench of the shoes wouldn't be strong enough.
Yes,
the point out in the.
So they fight back, trying to climb up the. I think it must be a replica of the Tokyo Tower.
Yeah,
it's going to broadcast this smell from, and. Yeah, this is like the final great sequence of the film.
It's really good as well. Really,
it
good.
Is. This was the thing I was noting, because this is the bit I think is definitely feels like Mizushima, the bit where they're all out on the girder, trying not to fall to their deaths.
It is pretty tense.
That's the sort of tension that I see in Mizushima's other work, and I know he's according to anime. News Network's encyclopedia entry, he did the storyboarding for the show, the thing.
Ah, right.
So that's the bit which really felt like his work.
There's something, I can't pinpoint why, but obviously, spoilers, but I knew they wouldn't fall to the death. But I can kind of like forget that kind of obvious like part of the story, but it still feels so damn tense. It's ever so. I was like literally on the edge of my seat.
It's the physicality.
I'm not exaggerating.
I mean, this was the thing, because I was like, okay, girders in cinema was the thing I wrote down when I was watching it. Because you see, growing up as a kid, you saw it in loads of cartoons. So Tom and Jerry fighting on a building site, or Daffy Duck on a building site, and all these sort of building site things. And I was looking up today. I'm trying to think, is the earliest... Oh, hang on, I've written it in my notebook, not on this thing, so bear with me. It's a Harold Lloyd short, which is the earliest instance I could find of this sort of girder tension.
Since you've mentioned it, that I can think of a lot of cases with girders as their king prop.
Yeah, it's Harold Lloyd's Never Weaken, which I... I don't know whether I've seen. I feel like I've seen it, but it may just be that
because it's a girder.
A girders, yes. Yeah. Which think might be on YouTube, may not be supposed to be on YouTube, but I think it might be on YouTube. So if it is, I shall stick a link to that.
Is this from what year is this?
21, I think.
Right.
So it's silent. I just looked up, I was searching for silent movies girders earlier today.
I'm sure it's a big list.
So I was trying to think, it can't have just been from cartoons. It must have been from somewhere before.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously there's a connection, I think, between cartoons and those sort of silent shorts. Because there's a I think good cartoons have that same sort of physicality. And this sequence did. The other thing which struck me, and which probably might be really obvious, but I've never really given much thought before, is finales of films or TV shows where the final scene is at great height.
Yeah.
That happens a lot as well. There's tension in height.
That's true.
I think it's a primal thing of falling to your death.
Yeah.
Great height is a really easy way to do a finale, to be honest.
I'll keep that in mind. Totally agree. Yeah, definitely. So I could reel so many things off that end on top of a building or, well, me on top of a building or potentially girders, but no. Not a great deal ends underground. Boring, no. Underground. But I love, this is the penultimate bit that sealed the film for me, that made me really know that I really enjoyed it. It's really well done, this bit. And it's hilarious as well, what happens.
Yes. And so they stop the smell in the end.
Yeah.
And then it gets really dark, which are then broken by a really good gag, which we won't go into because that will spoil the complete ending. But it does suddenly go even darker than it's been before.
I can't even remember.
Oh. Well, what the villains plan to do when their scheme fails.
Yeah, right? I thought what you were getting at. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's broken with a really great gag to finish it off. But yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
More people should go and see it. It's fan-subbed. You might have to wait a while to get it because it was fan-subbed a long time ago, so I don't know how many people are seeding a torrent. But it's definitely worth looking for. And I think somebody's just fan-subbed another Shin Chan film, an earlier one.
Oh, good. Good.
I think the second one. So it might be worth coming back, going to look at that.
Yeah, I definitely would after
to do a comparison.
Experience, yeah, yeah. But I think it's a lot. As I say, there's a lot on the surface, and it's just so much deeper than that. It's really good, really good. Because genuinely, the scene with the father run through his past and stuff, that's really heartwarming, and it's quite sad. It's quite sad in a good way, of course.
Yeah, it just reminds you that you're getting old.
It does. It really does. But it's nice. It's a nice...
I think it's bad for you. I'm the same age as the character.
Aye. Oh, we're not getting the age and stuff.
Because... No, it's all right. This was 10 years ago, so now he must be 10 years older than me. Oh, hang on.
Ah.
He doesn't age.
Silver lining.
He's a cartoon character, though. He's still 35. He'll always be. It's like, I think they added 4 years to Homer's age eventually. I think as all the writers were getting older than Homer, and they suddenly realised, oh, hang on, that's not whatever age he was is actually like. But we better amp him up a bit. Because you saw that, I think I saw that happen in One Piece as well. When he was in when Oda was in his 20s, he introduced Smoker, who's a character, I think it was 32, and he's like really serious, comes off really sort of old and serious and grizzled. He's got grey hair, smokes cigars all the time. 32.
That's what's going to happen to you in a few years.
I'm already past that.
Oh, yeah.
And then as he's getting into his 30s himself, then you get Frankie, who's the wacky Popeye-armed cyborg with Ace Ventura type hair, wears an Hawaiian shirt and Speedos all the time.
I've seen him. He looks quite
yes. So, and he's 34, which is much closer to how I felt when I was in that age than the Smoker. So obviously as Oda was getting older, he was realising, oh, hang on, no, people in their 30s aren't actually like Smoker. And you're never really that sort of uber adult.
Is that... Because you mentioned a kind of opening that you could jump into for One Piece.
I think in 2 weeks' time, episode 506, I think should be a good place to jump on.
See, I don't know what... I feel like I've missed a hell of a lot.
I was thinking I should make you watch 506 if it is the jumping on point, and then we can do an episode and we can see whether or not I am right, whether it is a good jumping on point or whether you're completely lost.
Right. I do have a good idea of the whole One Piece world and the universe. I did watch maybe the first 40 episodes way back when, but there's a lot happened in that time, I presume.
Oh, yes. And
I'd hope so.
But, they're doing a time jump at the moment, so at the moment it's a flashback to Luffy's youth.
Right.
And then when they come back, hopefully... should be 2 years later from where they left off. And everyone will have their new character designs.
Could be fun. Or it could ruin the series for us all.
I wasn't sure, but from what I've seen of the comic, I think they've settled. I think he knows where he's going and they're doing some interesting stuff. So.
How old's the guy who
Oda
and everything?
He's 35 as well.
35.
Same as me.
And how old was he when he first started?
It's 97, 98, so how old would that be? 23, 24, maybe?
Jeez, at my age right now, he was made...
Better get writing.
Yeah, better.
Better get their scripts made.
Yeah, God. That's quite an achievement. Has he done much else, or...?
I think he did a few things before, and he was an assistant on Kenshin.
Oh, right.
He had like a couple of goes at sort of, I think one was Romance Dawn, maybe they're both called Romance Dawn, but they're like proto One Pieces.
Right.
And then I think he said he wants to do, when One Piece is finally done, I think he's more interested in doing things with film.
Mm.
So I think that was why he was heavily involved in the 10th movie, I think, was to try and get an idea of what he'd need to do.
Yeah, I have seen one of the movies, but I forget which. I do forget.
I hope it's six. Six is the one to watch.
What happens in it? Without a point.
They go to an island and have to compete in contests. And then a truly frightening villain shows up at the end. And
what
the hell?
I think it is. I'm trying to think. I remember kind of an amusement park, a theme park at the start.
God, I can try and remember, because most of the ones I've tried to block out of my mind.
This is literally scraping from the back of my head to remember this. So.
So one isn't very good, two is okay, three is appalling, four is pretty good. I'm trying to think.
There's no way I could find out by seeing a title or anything, to be honest.
No. We'll come back to this on a nicer episode. I think we should probably wrap things up now. But in general... Go and watch Crown Shin Chan.
Yeah, and look for the new shows in the summer.
And we'll be back next week.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.